Hello, everybody. Welcome back to the Song Capture Podcast. My name is Chris Clayton. I'm your host. So glad you're with us. If you're brand new to us, you just found us, a special hello to you. Thanks for taking a chance on us. Thanks for joining us. Glad you're with us as well. On today's show, we have Josh Baldwin from Bethel Music. I'm so excited about this episode. What a great conversation I had with Josh. Such a down-to-earth guy. We unpack his journey as a songwriter, his journey as a worship pastor. We also unpack how he has found his tribe, certain writers he loves to write with, and how that's important to find people that you connect with as a songwriter over and over again, who you just work with well. And so we unpack a little bit about that. We also hear the story behind the song Standing Your Love, a song that has really impacted the church in a huge way, a song that almost didn't happen until he took a chance on a last-minute idea from a songwriter who's now become a dear friend. Before we jump into that, if you are a worship pastor or a worship songwriter and need a great demo for a song, let me encourage you to head over to mysongcapture.com. That's mysongcapture.com. Check out the demo packages we have to offer over there. Save 10% on your first demo by using the promo code TAKE10. That's T-A-K-E, the number 10. That'll save you 10% off of your first demo. Also, if you would, help us spread the word about this podcast. There's two ways you can do that. First, you can go to iTunes if you listen on there and rate and review the show. But more importantly, if you wouldn't mind, maybe reach out to a friend who is a worship writer, a worship songwriter, a worship pastor who would benefit from these conversations and just tell them about it. Invite them to listen to the show on iTunes or Spotify, wherever they listen to podcasts. We would greatly appreciate it. All right, let's get into the conversation today. Here's Josh Baldwin. Hey, Josh, man, thanks for joining us on the podcast today.
Hey, it's good to be here.
Yeah, glad to have you on. You're in Cali. I'm in Tennessee. We're doing this over the Zoom again. We were just talking about it. It's hot there, you said.
It is so hot here. It's, I think the high today is a 111.
God.
It's been like 109 a couple of times this week. Yeah.
And you played golf in it.
I played golf Wednesday in it. Because, you know, I mean, I love golf and you get discounts because not many people want to get out there and play.
Yeah.
Heat. But if you can find a buddy who will play with you, you can play golf for cheap here.
you got to do what you got to do to get the game in, I guess. Right. So
it's supposed to get cooler next week. We're looking at 80s next week.
Oh,
yeah.
Cold front coming through, man.
coming through and expensive golf coming.
That's awesome. Man, how's the fam and you doing through all this craziness of our world?
Yeah. You know what? We're doing good. We, after like the first 2 weeks or 3 weeks maybe of all of this, those first 3 weeks of the shock of what do we do? what's going on? How do we homeschool? all of that. We kind of like, I think, you know, hit a groove and it's like, once you realize, okay, I think this is what the whole year is probably going to look like, then, it was good. You just start planning accordingly. And then, some of the fear has gone away. Most of it, I think.
Yeah.
And then it's just, you know, it's a crazy season, but
yeah,
we're doing good.
That's awesome. Well, man, again, thanks for being on the show and excited to unpack a few things with you on this. But I'd love to know, maybe for some that aren't familiar with Josh Baldwin's background, maybe how you got into this whole worship leading thing and maybe even specifically songwriting, and then maybe even take us even how you got connected with the Bethel family over there and just kind of take us through your journey a little bit.
Yeah, sure. I'm trying to think. How far back do we want to go?
Man, you can take us as far back as you want.
I was born on a Sunday and in church on the next. that's a joke, but it's actually true. I actually was born on a Sunday and church next. My dad's a pastor, so I grew up a preacher's kid. But he wasn't just a pastor. He was also into music, and he for a lot of my years, especially my teenage years in church, he led worship too. So he was a worship leader too. And so I grew up in music. I grew up, sports and music were like my two favorite.
Yeah.
I had like sports friends and I had my music friends, and they didn't really know each other and were always shocked to find out when I did the other one. And but I grew up playing drums in church, started when I was like 12 playing with my dad. And then that kind of grew into my high school years, I picked up an acoustic guitar and started leading worship. And it just was something that was natural. And I think a lot, I mean, obviously because my father does it, it was in me, but then just the years of playing, I mean, I had played drums in a worship, I'd helped lead it, from the drums. And so it just felt very natural to me. And, through that, I went to Lee University for 2 years.
Yeah.
Dropped out on academic probation. And I always love to tell that story because, it's not just like all rosy and amazing.
Right.
But actually, I mean, my time there was great. And the funny thing is I was a bad student, but I just didn't go to class. I wasn't like a bad kid. I just loved music and sports. And all I did was play guitar and learn worship songs and learn how to write songs and play basketball and just didn't go to class, which is funny because I didn't, I ended up learning my trade there. I could have done it at home for way cheaper.
Yeah.
But it was a good experience.
What year would that have been that you were at Lee?
Gosh, I graduated high school in 97. That was between 97 and 99.
Okay. So we're the same age or I'm 42. And, that's kind of right when the height of worship was kind of shifting, and from this, just old school, what we call old school now, to more of this modern flair. So I can see how, and because I was in the same boat, like that's what I did at college. I was like getting the bug to play guitar and leading worship. So grades suffered. Plus I met my wife, now wife, then girlfriend, so that's what made my grades suffer. So, I mean, I get that. So I can definitely relate to the whole idea of better things to do.
I mean, I remember holding the Delirious Live in the Can
album.
While I was in college, I think that's when I found the Cutting Edge album.
Of course, yes.
And yeah. That was about when the actual Live in the Can album came out. So then, the Daryl Evans, that album.
Mm-hmm.
Those a lot. And then that's where I found Morningstar worship music. Yeah. Which is funny, it was from Charlotte, I'm from right outside of Charlotte in North Carolina. And I was at Lee University in school, and that's where I found somebody told me about this church that was from your hometown, Josh. How do you not know? I'm like, what? And I listened to this music of like Don Potter and Leonard Jones, and I mean, probably people that a lot of people won't know. They're kind of underground and influencers of more famous. I'm using quotes. Worship leaders now, but So that's where I was like, okay, I actually think I should probably leave college or not go back to college once I was in the summer and just go to this ministry school. So that's what I did. I went to ministry school there. That's when I really started writing songs and getting into it. And then kind of from ministry school, at Morningstar in Charlotte, I became one of the worship pastors at one of their churches up in the mountains of North Carolina.
Wow.
And just through all my years there, I was a part of Morningstar for about 10 years. That's kind of how I got connected with Bethel.
Okay.
And because Bethel was kind of a sister ministry in some ways to Morningstar, the other side of the world, mm-hmm. and doing some of the same things, similar streams. So that's how I met Brian and Jen.
Yeah.
And, from there, I got married. I did an album. I sent it to all my friends and two of them being Brian and Jen. And that was kind of how my connection with Bethel Music. Around 2014, I think.
Okay.
I came out here to visit and just see the guy who'd been playing drums with me since he was 14 moved out here, Joe Volk. And so I came out here to visit him. And then we wanted to visit the church. My wife had never been here. And that's when we came out here and they asked me if I wanted to lead worship on a Sunday night. And so I did. And that's where we hung out the next day and they were just talking, we'd love for you to be a part of Bethel.
Wow.
Music, I didn't have to move here.
Yeah.
And which was great because at that time I was a worship pastor at a little church in Charlotte and it was great. I was like, great, we'll be a part of Bethel Music, but I'll stay in Charlotte at my church and near our families. And so we did that for a year, and that whole year, how it is right before you have to make it. You're making this big step. You just start seeing signs everywhere that you're yep. about to make a big step. Mm-hmm. And that happened for like a year. And then finally we like came to grips with, I think we're supposed to move out there.
Yeah.
And we moved out here 5 years ago. So that is the quick.
No, that's great.
Yes, now, version.
Do you have responsibilities within Bethel Church now that you've moved out there? Are you still just kind of more on the music side of things, or how does that look?
I mean, I'm not like on staff, or, you know, I'm not like a pastor on staff.
Sure.
I'm definitely committed to leading at least once or twice a month here at okay. church. And you know, we're here so many Sundays. I'm at least here at least two Sundays a month.
Honestly. Yeah.
Sometimes one, but, and as far as traveling goes, we're definitely like looked at as like leaders in the worship team and in the church, especially on the worship side, but I'm not like on staff, but
right.
there's a ton of people out here. So,
so where does songwriting fit into all of this, this crazy journey of yours? How did you get into that? And, you know, was it something that's always been in you as soon as you picked up a guitar? Or was that more cultivated once you got in ministry school, or how does that fit in?
Yeah. I think it's a little both. I mean, when I had never really thought about it much until I went to the ministry school in Charlotte when I was 20, I think mm-hmm. I was 19 or 20. And I mean, which was funny because my dad wrote songs all through my teenage years. We would play his songs all the time. And I didn't think about it. I was in that, like we were saying, all the great music coming out in worship.
Yeah.
I was enjoying that so much that it almost didn't even cross my mind that you should write something yourself. I was just like, these are awesome. And this, whatever's happening is, right now and worship is amazing, and I just want to sing these songs. And so I went to, when I was at ministry school, they had a rule there where you couldn't lead worship unless you led your own song. Like you couldn't lead. Yeah, which is, I mean, it's kind of funny and not normal, but it was amazing for me because it actually, that was the push. I was like, well, I know I'm supposed to lead worship. I know I'm called to do this.
Yeah.
So I guess I'm just going to have to write a song. So it just forced me into it. And so I did. And it came, I wrote with my mentor and leader then, Susie Uri, and she was one of the worship leaders, pastors there. And she helped me, but it felt natural. It didn't feel like a hard thing, you know, and I think I'd just been around it so much and with my father. And so, I think that first song that kind of lit that fire in me, and it helped me realize, okay, yeah, I'm called to do this too. And
yeah.
It's not just leading worship, but it's songwriting. And that kind of started the journey of writing for me.
That's great. That's great. So in songwriting, obviously it's a craft. It's something that has to be, you know, honed and worked on, kind of that whole rule of 10,000 hours, if you will, of putting something into something. But in that, you kind of, I think every songwriter kind of discovers maybe their process, or maybe kind of how they write songs, and it may ebb and flow. At least it has for me, even over the years of, you know, what worked 3 years ago may not work today. But is there a Josh Baldwin process to writing songs?
Man, yes and no. I it's changed over the years. I think for like the first, 15 years, I think I mostly just wrote by myself. I didn't really co-write much. There was like a few songs here and there that I co-wrote, but it was mostly all me. And it was most of the time my writing would be when I felt inspired to, you know, or when I had like a little nugget of something that maybe I got in worship, and I'm like, oh, let me try to put something with this. But I just found, and I didn't, but because of that, I didn't write as much because I was just trying to wait on the feeling good and,
right.
you know, feeling inspired. And I want to, yeah. So because of that, I didn't write that much, and probably not that great of songs. I mean, right, there's some good ones that I still have from those years, but, It was when I actually, when I got to Bethel Music and started being a part of the co-writing groove that really I found like, okay. And it wasn't just that. I mean, I found that, okay, this is like more of my style. I like getting together with people that are strong in areas that I'm not.
Yeah.
And I'm strong in areas that they're not. And, but then it wasn't just that. It was more when I realized like it should be a discipline that I do, you know, every day or every other day or just a certain time committed every week to doing this craft. And in that, like in my discipline time writing, the inspiration will come in those times, but not to wait on inspiration, but to just actually go for it and do it because I know that I'm called to do this. And in some ways, you know, just it's my job and look at it like a job. Mm-hmm. And like, okay, well this week I'm writing. So I'm getting up every day and I'm writing. And yeah. Some days feel horrible and some days feel amazing, but that's been the shift in everything for me. And I think too, you know, there's some practical things that I tend to get like melodies and, you know, maybe like a chorus or bridge idea. And I'll save those on my voice memo, like every songwriter does now.
Absolutely.
That's how it starts usually.
Yeah. I may have said it on a previous episode. I can't remember, but, I once heard Jason Ingram say that you can tell a songwriter's a songwriter by looking at their calendar, which will dictate the discipline behind it. Cause you do have to treat it like a job, but this is what you want to pursue. Then just like you would, you know, schedule everything else, you kind of have to schedule out times, whether it's co-writing, whether it's just sitting down and just working on some ideas. But maybe talk about that a little bit. When you come into a co-writing session, you know, do you, how much of a balance, if you will, is it maybe you, if we're writing for a Josh Baldwin record, are you bringing the ideas or are you kind of letting it kind of be spontaneous coming out of conversation in the room or kind of what does that look like?
It just depends. Yeah, it's both. And I think through all this, especially in the last three years, I've realized that, I mean, I am a songwriter, but I'm not like a all year round every day kind of song. You know, right. I'm really like, and I hate to say the word artist, but
yeah,
I just know that there's that side of it for me too. And there's, and just in worship leader, I get to where, and I talk about this with my wife a lot. I'm like, I don't want to write another song right now to do because I want to sing the ones I got. Like I'm just like, if I haven't like fully like given my all to the ones that I have, and I'm like, it's hard for me to separate from that and move on to write. Cause I think of writing songs in like seasons and especially like album kind of things. And I'm like, if I'm in like a songwriting time where I'm like, or songwriting season where I'm writing for an album, then I'm like all in and I'm thinking about the theme of this album. I'm thinking about, you know, all of that. And so, and I almost to be in that, I almost have to like be completely done with the last season of songs and the last batch of songs. Not that I wouldn't ever do them again, but you know, they're just had to squeeze everything I have out of them. And that said, like in songwriting sessions and in times getting ready for maybe an album for me, I mean, I definitely have ideas. I definitely have like maybe a path that I want to go down, but I'm not limited to just like it all has to come from me. And a lot of, and the funny thing is this, the album that I'm just about to finish up and comes out later this year, Plug.
Yeah. Which I want to talk about.
there's a handful of those songs that didn't necessarily start with my idea that started with friends that I was writing with. And I also know I'm very, I've figured myself out in a way sure. that I have favorites. I have buddies that I just gravitate towards. And I feel like in some ways it's like seasonal. My last album, The War Is Over, the beauty of that album too is I got to do that album with one of my best friends, Bobby Strand. And that just started, we both, at that time, he lived in Reading.
Yeah.
And so we were just hanging out a lot. Our wives were really close and we just started hanging out and we wrote a song together and it was actually the title track, The War Is Over. That was the first song we wrote together. And it was like this thing that felt like, this isn't just a song. This is like a theme for a whole like batch of songs, and he's a producer too. And he was like, dude, let's just start writing. So we would just get together every day. So that whole album is me and him writing songs together. And you know, some of the songs have other people on them too, but
yeah,
all of it is me and him. And so, that was kind of that album. And then this album, which we can talk about more. But I have there's one or two guys, and mainly one guy who we met. He's in Nashville. We hit it off, and we write together all the time. And he just it's like in this season, we were just feeling, we were just connected in this. And so I found that just in the last two albums, I'm I gravitate to people. I'm just, something good will happen. Something will click. And I'm that's kind of the vibe and what I'm feeling for this whole thing. I'm just going to let's get together again. Yeah. And so it's cool. We'll bring other people in our session, but it's mostly me and him.
Well, it's funny you say that. You must be reading my notes over here, because I'm a credit junkie. And so, and even as a songwriter, I love when a great song is written, I love to go see, well, who wrote this song, you know? And so, I'm going to take a stab here and see if you're talking about Ethan here. So,
I'm talking about Ethan, yeah.
Because, of course, we're going to talk about the story behind Standing Your Love, but even your new song, Evidence, that you wrote with Ethan and Ed Cash. Literally, my question on my page was, do you tend to gravitate to certain writers because of how it's just worked? And if it's kind of not broken, don't fix it, you know?
Yeah, no, I do. And I don't think it's much. I mean, Ethan's an amazing writer.
And we're talking about Ethan Hulse here, in case you don't know who we're talking about. So,
yeah, Ethan's probably on everything that anyone loves right now. You find his name everywhere. But I mean, that wasn't necessarily the case a few years ago when we started writing. And but so it wasn't like I gravitate toward Ethan because I know he was this amazing, right? The first song we ever wrote together was Standing Your Love, so I knew something was special. But it's not even just about the writing. It's about just the hangs and the person that Ethan has become one of my closest friends, and we almost only hang out when we write, but we text and stuff, but we have built this relationship that I don't know. It's, writing is such a vulnerable thing for me. I mean, for everyone it is, but some people are just better at spilling their guts to just anyone and getting in a room with anybody. And I'm getting better at that, but I find that I'm not totally open and vulnerable when it's something like that. But when I'm with someone like Ethan, and Ed's been that way too. I've been with Ed a lot. It just feels so much easier. I can come in and just be honest with him and be like, hey, I feel horrible. I don't have anything. And there's oh, it's fine. Let's just hang and then see what happens. And then, I do gravitate. And I think it's because of a lot of different reasons.
Sure. Yeah. I get that. So, in working on this new music, you say it's coming out later this year. Maybe briefly walk me through what does that look like for those that may have never made a record or who want to make a record, in terms of the writing process, how many songs maybe have you tried to write for this and to get this, all the slots filled, and even talking about the discussion between you and, Bethel about choosing a producer and just the demo process, just, however you want to frame that up, but just how the making of this new record has been.
All right. Yeah. That's a good question, because it's been different than any other album I've ever made. And because the last song I was talking about with Bobby, The War Is Over, that was me and him. And we were here in Reading, and we had a whole year of just hanging out. We'd write a song and then he'd just go back and demo it. And his demos sound like album. I mean, they're basically done. It's like, wow, there it is. That's that's amazing. And so that was a whole different process. That was just the two of us. But this one, and I wasn't traveling near as much, so I was just home all the time. And this one is different because I was in the middle of the two busiest years of my life, 2018 and 2019, and I'm supposed to be working on an album, and I'm just like, how do people do this? How do people do albums and travel all the time? Like, what am I gonna And so, it's been, I think too, that's another reason why I'll grab on to guys like Ethan and Ed and just like, okay, I need something consistent in this season where I'm traveling. Because Stand Your Love took off. So like the last 2 years, especially last year, was just crazy. And I was gone a lot. And so having someone like Ethan was like very grounding for me. And my wife knows it too. And she's like, you should just get with him. Just always get, you know, like, and so Bethel Music is very, they give you a lot of freedom. I mean, you know, they give you like a good parameters to like help you feel safe. But then I felt a lot of freedom to just go after whatever I'm feeling. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, it would be like, you know, there was one time Ethan came out here and we wrote together, him and then my friend Bobby, we all got together and we did some writing out here. And then just, I would, you know, through traveling, I'd make stops in Nashville or mm-hmm. guys, Ethan came on the road with me one time with Zach Williams and hour I'd stop through and hang out with Ed or, you know, it was these little like in and out kind of trips and stuff. And so and I didn't write, I'm kind of a guy, I know some guys write like, you know, 30 songs and then pick from those. And I'm just not as much like that. For my first album, I wrote 11 songs and 10 songs made the album.
Wow.
And then for this album, there were more, I mean, maybe 15 songs and 10 are making the album with maybe a cover on there.
Gotcha.
It's been a different process this time because it feels like it's all happened on the road and the last album was all here at home. Mm-hmm. So
yeah. A little bit. That's good. As a songwriter, you know, more and more, especially in this season, we're having to be more and more versatile in terms of how we write, whether it's over Zoom or in person, but also learning just the tech side of things. Are you tech savvy kind of demo builder track guy, or do you just write?
No, I just write. I am horrible at it. I know, I mean, you see in my video, I have speakers to make it look like I'm tech savvy, and I have a little arrow. I don't know, user face. What is it called? I don't even know what they're called.
Universal Audio. Yeah.
Yeah. They gave it to me. Well, I didn't give it to me. I bought it, but my buddies picked all this out so that I could have a place in my house to maybe build demos. But basically I plug my acoustic in, I sing in my Shure SM7 and that's it. It's just me and my acoustic. And, which I could probably get it to sound almost as decent just doing a voice memo, but
yeah.
I mean, I'm just acoustic and vocals guy, and I don't do too much. And I've thought about learning, but I get so frustrated. I feel like it would like stifle so much in me. I'm like, well, I'll let the guys who do that really well just do it, and I'll hang out with them. But so this album, the cool thing about this is, going into recording it, I wasn't sure what a lot of these songs would sound like. I mean, there's some that we led at church at Bethel here before we recorded actually. So we kind of, even just that, like helped us build it, especially with Evidence, the new song. We had done that in church. So Ed Cash produced that. And so he kind of even took the roadmap of what we had done to help with the recording, but a lot of these, I didn't have a clue what they were going to feel like until we have been tracking them, and they feel great. But
how often that leading songs at church, which we've talked about that on the show before, like, you know, hey, we write a song, let's go test it out. We do that even here where I lead in Franklin. How often after sometimes leading at church do you go back and tweak a song?
Oh, almost always. Okay. I mean, there's. Yeah, there's maybe like one or two times where I haven't touched it and just thought, okay, that was awesome. That one's good. But more times than not, there's always at least a one little thing, you know, you can change. There's Evidence. Oh gosh, I think I led that song. I think I sang it three different ways at church before we were done, like had the final version. And then, you know, then you have people, well, because it's Bethel and we stream and then people throw it up on YouTube, there was like, there's like the old versions on YouTube. What happened to the line? And I'm like, oh.
Oh my gosh. I didn't even think about that. Yeah, I could see that how that happened. Yeah. Yeah, well, it just shows, you know, we often talk about the songwriting process of, you know, getting in a room, writing with a couple of guys and gals or whatever, but there's a rewriting process to songwriting that cannot be forgotten. In fact, it's probably maybe the most important step in the whole process of, you know, because it's really easy to get attached to something in the moment in the room with somebody, but remove yourself 24 hours or 48 hours or a week and you come back to it, you start finding the holes in it, and you can't be scared to rewrite on something like that.
Right, right. And there's, I mean, you know, and that's the great thing about having a place, like having a church that allows you to try out songs, and you see what works, you see what doesn't. And that helps too. You know, you go back and I go back and like, hey, okay, this could be better. And, but this right here maybe connected really well. And I love, you know, and there's also been plenty of times where I've, changed things around and then I end up going back to the original. I'm like, okay, no, the original was the best.
Yeah.
That happens to Stand Your Love too. Hmm. Yeah.
Well, man, talk about Stand Your Love. I'd love to know the story behind writing it. I know Ethan was on that and a couple other people were on that, but maybe I've heard the story and it was kind of one of those moments of going, that's only God could do that type of thing, you know? And so maybe kind of just unpack how this song that's really kind of made a huge impact in the church over the last couple of years just kind of came into existence.
Yeah, I would love to. I love the story because I feel like I had so little to do with it. Being there and, I mean, helping writing and then kind of being the one to be able to take the song. It's also cool. I was thinking yesterday when I knew we were going to talk about this, and I hadn't thought about this as much, but the side of it that is so beautiful to me is it involves three of my heroes, really. And I'm not including Ethan in that. He's a hero, but he's more of a buddy. This is actually how I met him was through this song. So the whole thing came about because my friend Jeremy Riddle, mm-hmm. worship leader here, he was here at Bethel. He's now down in Anaheim Vineyard. He broke his ankle.
Oh wow!
Riding his son's dirt bike, and he wrecked it, broke his ankle, punctured a lung. It was actually really bad. He was in the hospital for a little bit, and so he's starting to recover, but he's still in crutches. And his first event that he was going to was down in Dallas, and it was like in January, I think, or February. And it was just him by himself. He was just flying down there. So he called me and he's like, hey man, I'm going down to Dallas, but you know, I'm still in crutches and I don't even know if I can sing fully because he hadn't sang yet since he punctured his lung. So he's like, would you want to come with me? And you know, I definitely need help carrying things because I'm on crutches. Then, you know, I'd love for you to lead with me and we'll just see how much I can do and how, you know, you can lead a lot. And so I was like, yeah, that's great. I mean, it was a week or a few days where I didn't have anything going on. And so I was like, okay, yeah. And then I'm really close friends with Rita Springer. I actually used to play drums for her years ago.
Oh, wow. Huh.
And she's like a spiritual mom.
Yeah.
And so she was there at the time living in Dallas at Gateway and I through her I had met Mark Harris, who's another hero of mine. You know, for him I grew up singing all their songs.
Absolutely. Absolutely, man. I know right where we're at. Yep.
That's like, you know, three. I mean, Jeremy's one of my favorite worship leaders of all time and just a good friend. And I called Rita and I was like, Rita, I'm coming down with Jeremy and I'm just gonna be with him this one night and then he's going home. And I was like, I'll stay another night if you want to write, because we had talked about getting together to write. And she's like, yeah, because just stay here and we'll write the next day. And so I was like, okay. So I go down and Mark hears that I'm coming from Rita. So he's like, we already have they had rented an Airbnb for their worship team to all come together and write for their next Gateway worship album. And which they had gotten Ethan Hulse from Nashville to come to that house and write with them. And so Mark was like, you just have Josh, told Rita, just have Josh come to the house and hang out with us that, you know, and we'll write. And so like, awesome. So I did the thing with Jeremy. And then the next day I wrote with Rita in the morning and then I went over to the house with her and me and Rita and I and Mark were in a room working on a song together. We'd been in there for like an hour or so. And it was going well. It was just, you know, it was the end of the day, probably, I think it was like close to five, and you're just wore out, you're tired. And those moments, like, unless it's like this amazing song, you're just kind of like, okay.
Yeah.
It might be time to just like call it a day. And, so I'm in there, and then the door opens and Ethan walks in, and Ethan says he's leaving. He's like, got to catch a flight back to Nashville. And I'd never met Ethan before. And he was basically telling Mark, hey, thanks for having me. I'm going back to Nashville. And we met each other, and he was like, hey, man. And I said, hey. And he said, hey, I don't know what you guys are working on right now, but I've just had this thing running through my mind like the last 5-10 minutes, this little idea that I think is a chorus. He's like, I mean, I'll play it for you guys and you guys can mess with it if you want. And then I got to go. But I was like, yeah, let's do it. I'm like fried on whatever we're doing. So I'm like, anything is better than just, you know, trying to like muscle out something else. So he sits down at the piano and starts playing basically what ends up being the chorus to Stand Your Love. I can't remember the original thing he did. It was the my fear doesn't stand a chance. And then it had something else. In the face of how you do it, you know, you sing it one way and then it turns around.
Yep.
So, but just that initial, the initial thing he played, just like, I was like, oh wow, this feels special. And I was like, how much time do you have? And he's like, I mean, I got 30 minutes. So he stayed on the piano. I grabbed the guitar and we just like muscle out some verses and, that pretty much stayed the verses. If I remember right, they're pretty much what they came out. I mean, I remember Rita's the one that shouts out, well, darkness tries to roll over my bones. And at first I was like, my goodness, Rita. Yeah, it just felt right. And we had that little bit, and then I took it back home and I finished the bridge and led it at church the next Sunday. And it was just, I mean, it immediately felt like this is special. That moment was just, I mean, and even the way it all, I'm like, I wouldn't even have been here had Jeremy not asked me to come just hang out with him. And it was a crazy moment. And Ethan and I hit it off. Like, we just started texting. I can't remember the next time Ethan, I think the next time, the next time I saw Ethan was 6 or 7 months later. I came to Nashville to do a song story about Standing Your Love. And it was just me and Ethan. And so that was the first time we'd even talked to each other about it or seen each other since that moment.
Wow.
Which was so special to just like, we're talking about it like for the first time in front of everyone listening on the video, you know. So, and just since that, he and I have become really good friends, and he's co-wrote, I think, almost every song on this next album with me. It felt good. I mean, I'll have ideas, I'll have a chorus, and I'll just send it to him and be like, hey, I feel like you, he's like, yeah, I know. He'll throw it back to me. It's got like verses to it and every, you know, it's just,
yeah.
So I even have like a Christmas song ideas that I've been messing with for years. And Sheila's like, send it to Ethan. And so I send it to him and he sends it back. And I'm like, yeah, that's it.
That's great. That's amazing.
It's such a great, and to be able to share it with Rita. And I mean, I remember her playing with her years ago, and she would prophesy over me and just tell me what she feels like the Lord has for me in the future. And like, it's like the crazy to see all of it coming, happening, but, and like, she's a part of it. Like, her name is on the song that I wrote that people know. And it's, I mean, and Mark too. It's pretty special,
man. What a great story. And that's the whole reason we do this podcast, is I think, you know, we all know the song, but the story is that much, that just as important, you know, as the song, because people need to know what it took to get to the song that we all know, that they've heard on the radio or they sing in their churches. And I don't want to let those stories die, because people need to know, you know, how God kind of orchestrated that moment for Ethan just to walk through the door and go, hey, I've been wrestling with this for 5 minutes. You want to tackle it for a second? And then it's turned into this, which has helped, you know, grow your ministry and taking you places that you thought, you know, never thought maybe you could go. But I take away a lot of this, something, a lot of things from this conversation today. And one of those things is the importance of just community and songwriting, you know, finding your tribe, finding people that you just resonate with, not because, you know, it's a formula and it works, but because you find people that really get you as a writer or get you as a worship leader and what you're trying to say, and can help extract things out of you that you may never have thought you could get extracted out of you. So, yeah.
Oh, totally. I've written with like great songwriters that I love. I love the song. I love what we have, but it doesn't necessarily feel like my song. You know, like there's something about when I find it's, you know, Ethan's that way. Ed's been that way. Where like they'll say something and I'll feel like that's exactly how I would say, like that's the language I would use. That feels like my heart, you know, it connects already with the part that I already had that was my heart. I came up with that, and it just, yeah, it's special when you find that. And that's why for me, I'm like, I want to grab onto that, especially when it's writing for a song that I know that is going to be on my album or I'm going to take and champion. Like that's really important for me. There's tons of songwriting I've done where it's been for other people, and which is honestly very freeing to just to write a song and not have any pressure on, this is going to be your song. So just, yeah, I'll just go with it. And like, those moments are really special too.
That's awesome. Josh, man, thanks for being on the show. This has been a treat and great, great conversation. A lot of great things. For those that are listening, be sure to check out Evidence. It's out now, right? It's on Spotify and all the platforms. And it's a great song. And of course, Standing Your Love. And man, we look forward to the new record that's coming out later this year. It's we're all stoked about it. And I've been seeing posts of you over at Leonard's place and over all over just working on it. And so I'm excited to see what all is coming about it. But blessings on you and your family there in Cali and the rest of the summer and just all your endeavors, man. We're just so glad to have you on today.
Oh, thanks so much. It's so good to be here. Hang out.
Thanks again to Josh Baldwin for taking time out of his schedule to sit down. What a down-to-earth guy again, who just loves the church, loves writing great songs for the church, and is living out really in obedience his calling for the church and for the kingdom. So be sure to check out his new single, Evidence, that's out now. And of course, the song Standing Your Love has had a huge impact. We lead it at our church and just love the story behind it. And so I encourage you to check it out, Lead It in Your Churches. Again, check out mysongcapture.com, all the demo packages and how we can serve you there. And please rate and review the show and tell somebody about it. That's how we spread the word around here. Until next time, have a fantastic week wherever you are. We'll see you again on the Song Capture Podcast.